Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome President-elect Donald J. Trump, First Lady Melania Trump, and the Trump family, accompanied by Vice President-elect J.D. Vance, Second Lady Usha Vance, along with friends and campaign staff.
This is great. These are our friends. We have thousands of friends in this incredible movement. This was a movement like nobody's ever seen before. And frankly, this was, I believe, the greatest political movement of all time. There's never been anything like this in this country and maybe beyond. And now it's going to reach a new level of importance because we're going to help our country heal. We're going to help our country heal. We have a country that needs help, and it needs help very badly. We're going to fix our borders. We're going to fix everything about our country. And we made history for a reason tonight, and the reason is going to be just that. We overcame obstacles that nobody thought possible, and it is now clear that we've achieved the most incredible political thing. Look what happened. Is this crazy? But it's a political victory that our country has never seen before, nothing like this. I want to thank the American people for the extraordinary honor of being elected your 47th president and your 45th president.
Well, that's the way it went down. Just a few hours ago, actually, Bruce and I stayed up till like 3 o'clock in the morning as we watched. I have to say, we were both so skeptical, we just couldn't believe. We just couldn't bring ourselves to believe that he might actually win in this way. This is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. We're not going to do business as usual today. You know how to reach the show. You listen every day, and I will tell you about Freeborn because we do need to save babies. I want to tell you that the Florida Fourth Amendment didn't pass. They did not codify abortion for all 9 months in the Florida Constitution. And so, and I am just beyond grateful. I think Governor Ron DeSantis had a lot to do with that. He was very vocal on that. And the people of Florida just didn't go for it. And women did not turn out like the left thought they would turn out. So that has been defeated. So now here we are. We know that the people, and actually there were two other initiatives also defeated in the country on abortion last night. So we know that our people, our American people, are not crazy about abortion like the left keeps telling us. But still, it goes on. And in fact, still the RU-46 is legal. That's the abortion pill. And so we need to be able to support preborn, and you do that by giving them enough money, at least $28, because that's what provides one ultrasound to show their babies, or as much as you can possibly give. Just go to preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation, preborn.com/Sandy. Well, all right, so here we are. This is November the 6th of 2024. History was made. But in the last 24 hours, history was made. And that's why we have to just stand in awe and think about it. Bruce and I, when it finally did get, when he finally was really the winner last night, and there was no way that she could win, we really just offered our thanks to the Lord Jesus. What else can we do? And so we weren't the only people that felt that way. Up in Michigan, there were a bunch of people watching. And as soon as President Trump finished his speech, this is how they responded. This is clip two. Thou art. We did not deserve what we got last night. We did not get what we deserved. I didn't know if God could give us another chance as a people, because when I look around and I see the decadence and the depths to which we have fallen in our culture, I just didn't know. But God has heard his people, and he's given us a second chance. Now, Bruce, my sweetheart, has joined me. He's been with me all night. We didn't get a lot of sleep, did we, sweetheart?
No, we didn't, but for a very good reason.
Yeah, for very good. I felt wide awake. I couldn't stop watching. And so let's put some flesh on this, because people obviously need to know. I'm sure they're watching the news, but I want to kind of put this in perspective. Let me give a few stats here, Bruce, and maybe I would like to ask you what this means to us. What this means to us as a people, just practically speaking. So President Trump won every swing state, and he won it by like 100,000 votes. I'll say in at least three or four states. He won the popular vote by millions. I think I mentioned to you a couple of days ago or on Monday's show that part of the plan by the left, as I understood it, because I've been studying and reading about this and listening, that they were going to declare that the Electoral College was a thing of the past. It was, they make the persuasion that it should be the popular vote, and then somehow intimidate and cause so much violence that President Trump would not be able to take office, and that the Supreme Court would not intervene because they'd be afraid. That was part of the plan. He won by so many millions, the popular vote in California, in New York State, to the extent that they can't do anything. And last night, Antifa actually tried to do violence in Seattle, and guess what happened? The police arrested them. Police came in force and didn't let them do anything they had intended to do. The same thing happened in Portland. I don't even think they got as far as they did in Seattle. So I'm just telling you, based on what I'm seeing, I don't think the left can take this away from us and from Donald Trump. Let me just continue with just a few details here. The Senate Republicans will gain control. They have, look, it's a little uncertain how many seats they have, but they've gained several, and they certainly have the majority now. There's four more still in play, Wisconsin, Michigan, Nevada, and Arizona. Carrie Lake is behind. Carrie's, my heart goes out to Carrie because, well, let me just say, she deserves to win that race because she's worked so hard. But the jury, unless it's decided while we're talking here, is still out. The House, just before I started talking to you, Speaker Mike Johnson announced that the House has been held by the Republicans. The Freedom Caucus actually picked up four new seats. And I'm telling you, that's a miracle because the people who lead, including Mike Johnson, who are running the House, don't like the Freedom Caucus. And so these guys, a lot of them prevailed without much help. Scott Perry, who was on with me last week, who I think is one of the biggest champions in the House, he was the chairman of the Freedom Caucus, just barely prevailed, but he prevailed. So in Pennsylvania. So that's just kind of some inside stories. The interesting thing is that in some of these blue states, the president is winning handily, but the Senate candidates are just barely hanging on. And that's an interesting dynamic. So we're not sure yet about Hovde in Wisconsin, about Rogers in Michigan, and about Brown. Now, Brown in Nevada, I don't think I've spoken to you. He's a veteran. He's got an injured face, like burned, because he was injured in a combat. And he wasn't supported by McConnell because, you know, he's too conservative. But he's really close to winning, and he might pull this thing off. So I think, you know, now the Jewish vote ended up being 80% to 20% Democrat, which was disappointing, I think. Well, it's good. I mean, it's more than usual, but I think that some were hoping that it would be higher than that. Nevertheless, they voted. And we have a new coalition, meaning conservatives. We have a new coalition. And who are they? Well, black voters. Black voters are now part of our coalition. Thank God for the alignment and also for just erasing race. I long for that day when we don't have to describe each other by color. Hispanic voters are now part of our coalition. Hispanic Americans, legal Americans like my family, my in-laws, the grandparents and uncles and aunts of my children. Yeah, and so Gen Zers, did you catch that? Gen Zers have voted Republican. They're moving, not millennials, but Gen Zers. And last but not least, you're not going to believe this, Bruce, you'll not believe this. I don't think you heard this part. Suburban white women, age 51 to 47, went to Donald Trump. Okay, so that's just a little snapshot of some things you might not hear in other places. Bruce, I think there may be some other things you'd like to comment on and certainly do that, but what does this mean to people? Can you help people understand what this really means to us as a country and as a people?
Well, this could be a real watershed moment, I think. Look, I don't want to get over my skis here, but in regards to what you were talking about with the new coalition, you know, I am so sick of watching elections be broken down into how are we going to appeal to somebody based on the color of their skin or what, you know, their nationality. You know, we did a lot of watching of what I would call the opposition research, CNN, MSNBC last night. And it's amazing whenever they talk about their chances to win a particular district, it's almost inevitably based on race. And it's
the black vote.
The black vote, the Hispanic vote. You know, it's the Muslim vote. It is so discouraging to me. And I think that, you know, this kind of drips with irony, this result, because the Democrats left the border wide open, let tons of people come in from Hispanic countries. And guess what? The Hispanic vote went down Donald Trump's way. You know, they ran a black candidate, I think, thinking that, and well, you heard Obama. He shamed people. If you're not black, and if you're black and you don't vote for Kamala, there's something wrong with you.
You're a misogynist.
And guess what happened? A lot of black people voted for Donald Trump.
Especially black men after he had shamed them so thoroughly. Yeah. I have to tell you, I realize, I recognize, I think, Bruce, you and I talked about this. We shouldn't be gloating. But I'm gloating right now. I'm gloating because I saw President Obama just so cocksure, so cocky, talking to these black men voters. And I did think, I said this on the air at the time, I thought, look at their faces. I don't think this is landing well with them, this shaming he's doing. And now he's been thoroughly, thoroughly humiliated on his grand efforts to try to get Kamala elected, and also Michelle. And that makes my heart sing. I'm glad.
It will be interesting to watch the evolution of the Democratic Party going forward because, you know, much like with the Republican Party, where we have the McCain faction, the Bush faction, the Trump faction, and they're always vying for who's going to control the party. You know, you've had the Clintons, you've had the Obamas, and then, you know, you've had a lot of this stuff going on. Is Biden his own part of the party, and is Kamala? And, you know, Democrats don't take light to people that lose. And they move on, and, you know, it will be interesting to see. Is Kamala Harris's political career over?
I think she's curled up in a corner. This is what I think she's doing right now, because she hasn't conceded. I think she's still in her pajamas, and I think she's on a comfy couch, smoking pot, and eating Doritos. That's what I think she's doing. I don't think we're going to see her. I think she's going to gain 20 pounds, and she's going to go back to Willie Brown. That's my prediction for Kamala Harris. Anyway.
Well, I see that she is scheduled to make some kind of statement, not necessarily a concession, but a statement at 4 p.m. today from Howard University. You know, I have to tell you.
Oh, yeah, that last night.
That was really, I think, look, I'm no fan of those people that showed up to watch Kamala last night for what they thought was going to be a victory party at Howard University. But I think that's terrible to leave your supporters just standing there after being there for hours and not appear in front of them. And Kamala Harris sent out one of her surrogates. And they really, it was very dismissive of like, well, you know, just go on home. We'll have a statement tomorrow.
Yeah. She won't be coming out tonight.
She won't be coming
out
tonight.
They waited for hours, standing on their feet for hours.
I think they announced it at like 1:30 in the morning or something. Those people had been there all day, you know.
Yeah. Well, and also you saw then before he made that statement, people were already leaving. Yeah. There are videos of them just flooding out of the room. Of course, the problem is she buses in her supporters. She just does. We see videos of just row after row of huge buses where she's busing in people to her so-called rallies. It was a fake campaign, and she was a fake candidate, and it should have collapsed, and thank God it did.
You know, I think the Democrats have nobody to blame in a large sense than themselves, because they try to use deceit to hide the physical and mental condition of Joe Biden. And they were plenty happy with trying to run him and keep him under the radar. And when that debate in June exposed him for the condition that he's in, and they still tried to deny it, but it finally, you know, there was an arm twisting and Biden was put out of the race. That killed them. I mean, they got a terrible candidate. They had not much time, but it was their own fault. And, you know
what?
But you know, you think, though, and I'm not going to alibi for Kamala Harris that she was put in a bad position, because she had the media with her. She had the money with her. She had the organization with her.
Social media. She had the international forces.
Yes,
the
globalists. And she still couldn't pull it off.
Yeah. You know what reminded me of? You and I are watching this World War II colorized. They've taken video from the Japanese in the war, the Nazis and Americans and British, and they compiled it into a chronological situation of how the war played out. And my point's going to be that the Nazis were so cocksure they were going to win because they were winning everything. They had the best equipment. They had confidence. Confidence would be like an understatement. They were going to conquer the world, and nothing could stop them. And so for months, nothing did stop them. And then suddenly, people began to kind of wake up and fight back. And, of course, then the Americans got in, and it didn't work out so well for them. And it was like they were just shocked, because they plan everything. They think of everything. That's the Germans. And that reminds me of the left, Bruce. I think they got out over their skis. Yeah. They thought they had this all worked out, but not so much.
Well, and I want to congratulate people for going to the polls early.
Yes, yes.
And in numbers. Because I think that really messed up their plan. I mean, you can see it today in the places like Wisconsin and in Pennsylvania with the Senate race, a couple of these others. They're so close. And, you know, the Democrats are going to do everything they can. See, here's the thing. Don't get lulled into thinking that they've capitulated and that this thing is over. Not by any means. I'm guaranteeing you there are going to be lawsuits. There are going to be recounts requested, demanded. And so, but again, not to get lost on that, by people going to the polls early, coming out in numbers, and also the ground game, a lot of people got out there and worked. Cleta Mitchell and several people just, and the RNC, once it got itself straightened out, they were ready for a lot of these games that the Democrats played last time.
Yeah, and let's talk about that in a minute, because we're going to have a guest in a second who's going to talk to us all about what happened with the grassroots around the country. But Bruce, there were some sweet moments, and I'm going to give you one of them. Do you remember the guy that, I think his name is David Muir, the ABC moderator for that debate, how he scolded President Trump and corrected him? Well, that made this little announcement kind of sweet to me. This is ABC News with the voice of David Muir. Clip one.
This is an ABC News election update. Now reporting, David Muir.
Good morning. It's now 5:35 here in the East. We are allowing all of our stations across the country to join us now with the breaking news. We are projecting at this hour the 47th president of the United States, Donald Trump, will be elected to return to the White House. Not consecutive terms. We mentioned a moment ago as we were on our air with our coverage, the first since Grover Cleveland to serve non-consecutive presidential terms. Donald Trump returning to the White House as the 47th president of the United States. He does so with Wisconsin now in his win column.
Okay, so I just want to say this. President Trump was asked a couple of times how he was going to get revenge or something to that effect before he won. And he said, the best way to get revenge is to win, is to succeed. And I think that must have choked David Muir. He must have choked on those words.
He had a crow sandwich that he had to eat last night like nobody has ever had to eat. That was the best moment for me, because Muir treated Donald Trump so terribly in that debate, but yet he was so smooth.
Yeah, and so smooth.
So many people. I remember seeing a Saturday Night Live skit where they made him look so wonderful, and he's very calm, but yet he was really sticking it to Trump. And to watch that go on last night, and you notice when they made the timestamp, they didn't announce that till 5:30 in the morning. You know, that was 4 hours or so after it was a fait accompli.
Okay, Bruce, on the same theme, across town at CNN was another guy who has been very disrespectful to President Trump and to all conservatives. As far as I can tell, there's a long line. His name is Jake Tapper, and he's working with John King. John is keeping, following the map. And I want you to hear the exchange. Sweet moments, that's all I can say. Clip three, here we go.
So you asked, are there any places that the vice president is overperforming Joe Biden in 2020? So we could show you that as well. We just bring that out here. Harris overperforming 2020.
Holy smokes.
There you go. So let this go away and see if there's anything on the east side there.
Literally nothing?
Literally nothing.
Literally not one county?
Literally Jake nothing? Was like, please tell me it's not true.
I know. I mean, I just love that. And so, one other thing I want to say before we welcome Ned. if you stop and think about winners and losers, which that's the way they say it in the press, you know, I guess it's a good category to use. These press guys are the losers, that's for sure. And so are the Obamas, and so is, you know, Karim Jean-Pierre. There's a long list of people. We think of the FBI, Chris Wray.
I hope to spend afternoon packing up Chris Wray and Merrick Garland's desks and kicking them out.
Okay, but, you know, on the other hand, there is some great news. Bruce and I, and I wish I could, we could flesh this out a little bit more, but the J-6ers. Yes. President Trump has promised to pardon them, and we just hope and pray. I mean, he does keep his promises, so I expect that he will. And that comes with I just got in my inbox this morning. Coleman Prison is in Florida. And here's the message. This morning, we received a call from an incarcerated J-6er in Coleman Prison who reports, "We are being threatened by supporters of the other side. You think you're going to be pardoned? I'll make sure you don't leave this place." So that's what's happening to one J-6er. He's reporting that this morning. We've got to get them out. We've got to get them out. And another person who this is good news to, and this is a big one, Bruce. What country in the world would be most ecstatic about the election of Donald Trump, you think? That's a quiz.
There are many. I think Taiwan, I think Great Britain, I think...
It starts with an I, and it's only 11 miles wide.
Oh, that's right. I should have known. Israel.
Okay, let me read to you what
I'm glad I didn't say Ireland. I said Israel.
you passed that test, honey. All right, here's the message from Benjamin Netanyahu. "Dear Donald and Melania Trump, congratulations on the history's greatest comeback. Your historic return to the White House offers a new beginning for America and a powerful recommitment to the great alliance between Israel and America. This is a huge victory. In true friendship, yours, Benjamin and Sarah Netanyahu."
Wow.
That is amazing. And just think of what it means to the people in Israel. And to the Jews in this country who are scared to death for their freedom.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed that the Jewish vote was only 20% for Donald Trump. I think we talked that it probably would be. There's something about it's just very, very difficult for Jewish people to vote for Republicans.
Well, you know, no matter. But the point is that in Israel, which is the focus, everything's going to change now. Can you imagine the rejoicing of the Israelis at the election of Donald Trump? Remember when he got elected in 2016, how they erected signs to him all in Jerusalem, all along the parkway.
Well, and you know, he moved the embassy.
Yes, he
did.
Yes, he did.
And, you know, I think the Biden administration has really been gaslighting us as to the extent and the fervor of their support, quote unquote, for Israel. I think they've talked a good game that, oh, we're there for them. But the only way Israel could ever get anything from us was if they promised to ease up.
Yeah, well, but let me just say, you know, Iran has kind of turned up the burner and making, you know, making noises about attacking Israel. They've gotten pretty bold in the last week or so. And there was a lot of fear. And so at the same time, probably most of you don't know that the Biden administration warned Israel that if they did not reach some kind of an agreement or ceasefire, that we would remove all support. So that just that's going to all change. And so thank God for that. Well, Bruce, we have a guest, and so what we're going to do is take a break. When we come back, Ned Jones is a champion on election integrity. He works with Cleta Mitchell, also another champion, good friend. And Ned is going to talk to us about the ground game and what happened in various states. And it's just exciting. And many of you were part of that. So please stay tuned. And this is Sandy Rios, by the way, on Sandy Rios 24/7. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Some of you are, you know, you have more finances than others. We're not all the same. Some of you are struggling, but others of you still have good resources. And if you have those kinds of resources, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, and that would reach 200 babies and their moms. To donate, just go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
We overcame obstacles that nobody thought possible, and it is now clear that we've achieved the most incredible political thing. Look what happened. Is this crazy? But it's a political victory that our country has never seen before, nothing like this. I want to thank the American people for the extraordinary honor of being elected your 47th president and your 45th president.
Okay, so that was a little clip again from President Donald Trump when he came out like at 3 o'clock this morning, at least Eastern Standard Time, and gave that great speech. By the way, I just want to say, when he brought his family out, I mean, the stage was filled with workers and family, and Barron is just, I knew this, but just to see him on the stage, he is absolutely a giant. It's just kind of funny that President Trump gave birth to, he did not give birth. To be sure, because we have to be careful about that stuff now. But he fostered, he sired this giant of a boy who has all this character and integrity from all sources, very smart kid. And so he just towers over everybody by about 3 feet. But it was just kind of fun to watch that. I've asked Ned Jones to join me this morning because we have so much to celebrate. And Ned is responsible for so many of the good things that happened last night. You've heard us talk about the Election Integrity Network. Cleta Mitchell, who is, you know, knows all things elections. I mean, she is the guru of this. She's been my guest several times. She's a great friend. And Ned is the director of the Citizens Election Research Center, which is part of the Election Integrity Network. So, Ned Jones, congratulations for just the great reward of your hard work. Thank you for everything that you've done.
Well, thank you so much for having me on today, Sandy, on this fantastic day. The hard work of really so many grassroots organizations that got involved in the election process let us have this election. Now, there's a lot of work to do. We know there were, quote, some shenanigans, but we were able to expose them. We were able to deal with them and mitigate whatever might have been going on and have this successful result.
Can you give us an example of a couple of those?
Yeah, sure. What we did at the Election Integrity Network is form statewide election integrity coalitions, and through those coalitions form local election and integrity task forces. We needed to get involved in the process of our elections. You know, the left has been involved for years, and they've taken over every aspect of what we call the process of our elections. And conservatives really concentrated on candidates and campaigns. You know, we supported them, we made phone calls, we shared treasure with them, and we left the running of our elections up to others. Well, We found it in 2020 what the others were up to with all of the anomalies that we saw in 2020. So we set to work getting the conservative grassroots involved in the process, and we saw that yesterday. You might recall that in Wisconsin, they had to recount, reprocess thousands of ballots in their central count center in Milwaukee because one of the citizen observers noticed that doors were open on tabulating equipment that should have been locked and sealed, and so they had to redo the counting of the ballots.
That's hey, Ned, can I just jump
in? Michigan,
can I just jump
they
in?
Tried,
hey,
well, Ned. I think they actually did deliver vans of ballots in unmarked vehicles very late last night, but we had people on the ground. People made videotapes. The RNC legal team got involved, and so it was dealt with immediately. None of this happened in 2020.
No, because we didn't know. I mean, we just didn't know. We had no idea that they were going to, they mean the left, that they had so many schemes and so many ways, you know, to actually steal our votes. I want to also add that Senator Ron Johnson heard about what was happening in that counting center in Wisconsin and actually went there himself to make sure took care of that problem. You know, Ned, you and I were talking on a meeting earlier this morning, and I just want to tell a funny story because I saw a lot of things online, but one of the funniest was my point is going to be this, that because of your work, even if people didn't join the Election Integrity Network officially, I think Americans, since 2020, slowly it's gotten down into our DNA that there's something wrong with our voting. There's something wrong what's happening. And so they've been alerted and they're vigilant. And so here's an example. I saw a video of an older woman. She's in her 60s, I'm sure, maybe 70, I don't know. And she was wearing a Trump shirt to this polling place. Some places it doesn't matter, but it mattered to them. And they told her she couldn't vote. She couldn't come in and vote with that shirt on. So she just took her shirt off and went into the voting booth in her underwear. And there's a picture of that because she had some salty language. It's like she wasn't a Sunday school teacher, but she was just not having it. She was going to vote no matter what. So there's lots of little signs of heroism. I'll mention one more, and that's this. I saw a short video of a guy, I believe this was in Pennsylvania, just a guy walking down a strip mall, and he sees these two other guys going into this little, like these, we know on strip malls, there are stores after stores. So it was a store, like with a storefront in the middle of the strip mall. And they're putting up papers all over the window, and these two guys are carrying in boxes and doing all these things. And so this citizen guy, he takes out his camera and he says, "Hey, guys, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing in there? Why are you covering the windows with paper? And what are in those boxes?" And I noticed, look, you're just two doors down from the post office. What are you guys up to? What are you doing in there? And he takes his phone. Everybody see these guys? They're doing something. I'm not sure what. But I just want you guys to go on notice that we see you. We know who you are. Anyway, and he posted it on Twitter. And I think, honestly, as funny as that sounds, Ned, I really think I'm sure there are many stories like that. And I think this created a deterrent to people that would otherwise have messed up or tried to cheat.
That's exactly right. And in other words, it was because of this awareness, because of people getting involved in the process, I think the whatever could have, would have gone on was mitigated. And so Too Big to Rig worked, that they probably tried different things. We know there was a big push to register non-citizens. There's a big push to use vote by mail, which was way down this election. You know, vote by mail is one of the big problems. It was changed during COVID to be wide open, no excuse vote by mail. That has to change. That's where a lot of the shenanigans happen. And you know, the USPS is having tremendous problems right now, and it is in no way should be handling our election mail. That's just one area that needs to be cleaned up. There are so many others in our election process. It is broken. We have to fix it. It has to happen at the federal level and then at the state level, so that we have fair and honest elections every time, and people can be confident. You know, that's another thing that the election integrity movement has done. It's restored voter confidence in a lot of cases.
Yes.
You know, people said, well, my vote doesn't count. But then they see the shenanigans. They see what we've been able to do about them. And so they're encouraged to go back to voting, to replace the people that are there with people that will provide fair and honest elections.
Ned, I just want to know, what surprised you the most last night? What result surprised you the most?
Well, that's really interesting because going back to 2020, because I've been an election nut forever, I was really watching the polls, and I understood that Trump was under-polling. I mean, it's just been consistent with him that you can almost add 5 points to whatever they're saying about Trump. And so yesterday morning, I was looking at the final polling in the swing states, adding my 5%, and I said, oh, my God, he's going to win. And so I wrote a number down, 287, and I was shocked by a couple of states. I was surprised by Pennsylvania, but I was really surprised that he did as well as he did, because I know what they're capable of doing. But as the day went on and as the evening went on and they started reporting, the same things that happened in 2020 were not happening. They didn't shut down the count. Somebody tried, and the RNC threatened them, and they didn't shut down. I can't remember what state it was, but nobody stopped counting in the middle of the night. That was a huge thing for me. I knew going in that the Zuckbucks had been eliminated from our election process, which really weighed in on the 2020 election. So I think the biggest surprise was that the shenanigans did not happen, and I think they were mitigated.
Ned, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit because I've been in meetings this morning, and I don't have all the numbers in front of me, and they keep changing. Do you happen to know by how much he won the popular vote?
Yeah, I wrote it down. Let's go back. 2020, it was 81 million for Biden and 74 million for Trump. This morning, it's 66 for Harris. Where'd the 15 million go? And 71 for Trump. So, like, Trump is going to come in close to 2020 when all is said and done. And Harris is going to be way, way short of Biden's 81 million votes. And so the question is going to be, what happened to all those voters? Everyone has their suspicions, right?
Yeah, well, the 81, because Biden was so popular and such a competent leader, and he got more votes than Barack Obama. That's what they told us. He got more popular votes.
Oh, he did,
Barack
yeah,
Obama.
More than Hillary, more than Barack. Yeah, no, that's the highest total ever, and it didn't materialize for Harris.
So I think they had trouble. I honestly, Ned, the thing that surprises me, I think, the most, and I shared a bit of it before you joined us here, I had thought about this, but I really didn't think it was going to happen. There are times, you know, I just gave the illustration of the Nazis who were so confident they were going to win World War II. They had the best equipment. They were winning all the battles. They were very proud. They thought of everything. They detailed everything. They thought they were going to conquer the world. And I believe that's what's happened with the left here. They got out over their skis. They thought they had it all worked out. And I just think, I believe God intervened. I just don't think there's any question. President Trump did an incredible job. But, you know, God intervened to save his life. So...
You know, I think the arrogance started with Obama, and I think that arrogance carried right through to Harris, and I think you're absolutely right. They thought they had it without doing anything. She never did anything. They dropped him off the ticket. She never got a vote. I mean, it was just a horrible situation, and I kind of relate it to Virginia in 2021 when I got started in the election integrity movement. Horrible candidate, McAuliffe. Citizens getting involved deeply in the election, and we had a fair and honest election with the outcome I think that the citizens wanted, and kind of the same thing happened this time.
Does that mean, Ned, that you don't think that, like in Arizona or Michigan, that there were, do you think that, can people assume that ballots were cast and this was a completely free and fair election without any interference? Can they assume that?
No. Can I just give you my personal opinion?
Please.
I think the non-citizen voting played a role. That was exposed by CLEDA in February. And we get the Election Integrity Network is a national movement, a huge coalition with Rosemary Jenks as well, that's exposing this non-citizen voting. You know, it's all in the honor system. 11 million at least have crossed in the last 4 years. So I believe, and you can't find them once they're on the voter rolls. And in Arizona especially, where they don't require any proof at all to get on the, quote, federal database where they can vote for president, I think that absolutely played a role in how close it was. Because when you look at, it's interesting, when you look at New York and California, two blue states, he lost, but he gained so much in the final, what it looks like to be the final outcome. So even in those blue states, making great progress with the electorate.
Yeah, so the answer is no, they're still messing up. So that's why I think your message would be, and mine is too, we have to continue to be vigilant, because they never, the left never disappears. They don't go back to their families and enjoy their life. They don't do that. Most of them just have cats and no babies, as I think J.D. Vance made pretty clear. So they'll be back. They'll be back with a vengeance, you know, trying to do what they can to steal other elections. And so people need to remain vigilant. And Ned, one last thing. Just tell us what this means to you personally and what this should mean to us as a country, that result from last night and this morning early.
Well, you know, to me, it's a very emotional thing. The day after the 2020 election, I knew that things were really wrong. And I was very concerned for my grandchildren and my children. And I've dedicated my life. I'm going to be 76 in a month. I dedicated the last 4 years to doing whatever I could to help fix our elections. You know, as my mentor, CLEDA Mitchell, says all the time, we need to fix our elections to save our country. We've taken a giant step in the right direction. And I believe there was divine intervention in keeping President Trump with us and winning that election. We know that there was. And so for me, it's emotional, and it's a commitment that I made 4 years ago that I am going to continue now, because we've made great strides, but there is so much more work to do. You know, the left has all the money, but we have all the people and enthusiasm, and we have awakened the grassroots conservatives. They understand now that we have to fix our elections.
Yeah. Well said, Ned. And I echo the same sentiments with you, fighting for our kids. We have to.
Yep.
Our parents fought for us, for heaven's sake. They handed us a free country. My father fought in World War II. Maybe yours did, too. And we've been watching this colorized version of World War II on Netflix, which is so moving. It's film footage from Japan, from the Nazis, from the Americans and the British. It's just powerful. And it takes me there and helps me remember what my dad did. I see these faces of these men. I have pictures of my dad. And that's what our parents did for us, our grandparents for some of you. And so surely, we can do the same for our kids by cleaning this up and handing them a free country, a truly free country for for the next generation. So, Ned Jones, God bless you, and thank you for everything you've done. And you're not going to quit, are you?
No way. No, we have a lot of work to do. We see real opportunities now at the federal level. We know we have a permanent infrastructure network at the state level. So, no, we're ready to fix things.
All right. Yay for you. Ned Jones, the director of Citizens Election Research Center. God bless you, Ned, and I'll talk to you soon. And meanwhile,
thank
just enjoy
you,
the day. Okay, God bless you.
Breaking news here in bonkers Britain, where for many of us Trump-supporting, freedom-loving individuals, it's the best day ever. It couldn't be better here in the UK. We have the BBC in absolute ruins. They were unable to announce Trump victory at 7 a.m. and they said Kamala still had a very narrow margin of a route to victory, even though it was obvious she had no route to victory at all. Channel 4 Moore's coverage was when it started and then completely collapsed, leaving the channel having to pay repeat episode of Friends or something because they had no words to speak about the glorious victory of Trump. And now we have a leader of this country who actively sent over his own teams to try and campaign for Kamala. And we have a foreign secretary who called the new president of the United States of America some of the worst names under the sun. So we can look forward to Trump punishing both of them very hard in the near future. For now, I'm just going to indulge myself in all the tears of all the people who said for all the weeks that they said, oh, it's on a knife edge. It's on a narrow margin. Well, looks like Trump won the popular vote. Looks like he's got the House and the Senate, and it looks like most of the swing states have gone red as well, and Georgia by 200,000 votes. I mean, truly, truly, one of the best days ever. Just want to say thank you to all the patriots over in America to let you know that patriots in this country are cheering you on as loudly as we possibly can. God bless Donald J. Trump, and God bless the United States of America.
All right, Sandy Reels, back with you. That's Katie Hopkins. Katie used to be a British commentator. She used to be on Fox all the time, and that's how I got to meet her. And she's been a guest of mine for many, many times. She's actually stayed in our home. We love Katie. And so the reason she's so exuberant is because it's not Israel. It's just not Israel that's excited about this win. The people of Great Britain are suffering so greatly under the authoritarian, autocratic rule of Keir Starmer and all the leftists. It's a nightmare over there right now. And that's what she's talking about. Keir Starmer, the prime minister, has called President Trump every name in the book. And people like Katie have really suffered over there. So have just regular British citizens. It's just a free-for-all. So it's hope for the world. I've told you this before. Everybody looks to the United States. Everybody. I mean everybody. And so this is a seismic shift for the entire world. Sweetheart, I know you have some thoughts about what we've been listening to, whether it's Ned or what, just circumstances, and I'm anxious to hear them.
Well, Katie, I think, really helps to sum up how we feel about things. You know, I said to you yesterday, and this is a little rough, but I am really sick of the condition of, I'll just pick on our own country, all these people that down people that try to be successful, that are sucking things out of the system because they can. They're not working because they can get unemployment. And, you know, I'd just rather, look, there's nothing wrong with taking unemployment if you need it. But these people that make it a habit of that's how they live, complaining about every little thing. We even ran into that yesterday. Sandy and I were at a polling place handing out literature, and there were two, quote-unquote, unbiased election judges. And let's just say they paid a lot more attention to us than they did to the Kamala Harris person who was standing
by us. A little bit of harassment going on there.
Yeah, a little, you know, a little light harassment, and we kind of killed them with kindness. But I'm sick of this. I'm sick of people. This is America. People have lost. I think a lot of people have lost sight of what it means to be American. Go back to our founding. You know, there's a T-shirt that says our ancestors founded this country with violence. And I'm not advocating violence, but what I'm saying is we didn't get here by being a bunch of sissies.
No, absolutely. And Bruce, just to the things that have just changed, now we'll be able to speak freely. Now, we've got a lot of battles to fight to get there, but Elon Musk certainly shifted the tide on that because he bought Twitter and made it just open it up as a platform for free speech. And that's a huge reason why we were able to communicate with each other and share information. And all those would-be deep staters, and trust me, they've got the cockroaches have gone back in the corner, but they're not finished. But they were moving full steam ahead to this surveillance state that we've been experiencing through our phones, through everything. This is something that's going to be addressed and, God willing, reversed profoundly. I was thinking, you know, it's not about me at all, but I fully have kind of expected the FBI to come to our home And because of the things I say on the air, why not? Why wouldn't they? Since they're arresting, you know, older women and putting them in prison, why not me? And I've just been, Bruce knows that I've just sort of said, you know, I've got to, we got to just grapple with this and accept it. So now for many of you who are worried that the IRS may come after you, that's a huge problem, especially for Christians, especially for patriots, or that the FBI is going to come after you, or our military. I think of our military who has been sort of purged of really good soldiers. I think President Trump will just wipe out that Joint Chiefs of Staff and start reinstating good people, people that had the vaccine and were let go without compensation. Just a nightmare what's happened there. Yeah. And last but not least, I want to say one thing. We have what's estimated to be 250,000 Chinese military in this country. That's the number that I was told. And so what do we do with them? Well, you know what, Bruce, I guess I'll just say, this is what I think might happen. I can just see this. The phone rings, and it's, Mr. Xi, President Xi. This is Donald Trump. You have, I can't do him. I can't do Donald Trump. But anyway, you got 150,000 military here. You know, you need to get rid of them. You got to take them back because we know where they are, and we're going to get rid of them, and it's not going to be pretty. But if it'd be better if you just take care of your own. Get them out of this country right now. And if you don't, I'm going to do what? X, Y, or Z? I don't know. I think he'll do something like that.
I would love it because we have just gone away from our core principles. It's frightening. In just less than 4 years, we have just crumbled. You know, we talk about Donald Trump and his personal life or his... Is he a Christian? Things like that. And I don't think we know, but I will say this. You know, Ned talked about divine intervention. He thinks that was a part of how this happened, and I believe him. The one thing I want to warn against is, you know, there always has to be a Debbie Downer, and here I'll be. I think that this election absolutely stunned the left. They were not ready for, this was like 2016, they were not ready for the result. But the thing about the left is they rebound and they get ready after that. So let's not get ahead of ourselves. I think that there needs to be not vengeance, but there needs to be accountability.
Justice
for what's gone on with these agencies. I really do not want Donald Trump to just turn the page on the things that have been done by the IRS, by the FBI, by the various intelligence communities, and all kinds of
Justice
agencies.
Department.
The Justice Department needs to be absolutely gutted.
Yes.
The Department of State needs to be absolutely gutted. And he should demand the resignation, because this used to be the way business was conducted. When a new administration came on, it used to be that every one of the U.S. attorneys for each of the districts in the country submitted their resignation. That doesn't mean they all had to leave. The president decided, well, I'm going to retain this one. I'm going to let this one go. And that did not happen in 2016 when Donald Trump took over. And look what we got. We got tons of people that undermine the president from the word go. He needs to stand up, and we need to stand up so that he's got support so that he can carry through on ridding this place of Washington, D.C. of this. It's going to be tough. Let's not be oversimplified here. This is going to be a slug, and you're going to have people that have skin as thick as a tire in order to.
Right. They can't be just nice. They can't be just qualified. They can't be just eligible or a good choice. They have to be able to fight.
Yeah.
Because now the fight comes to clean out that deep state.
Jeff Sessions was such a wonderful man.
Yeah, real gentleman.
And he got run off
because
he thought he was doing the right thing. We cannot have that happen again.
No. We need some real star. I'd love John Eastman to come in and take over the Justice Department. That's my vote. But, Bruce, just a couple of things. Issues I want to just quickly mention. There were two ballot initiatives in Florida. One that would add abortion for all 9 months to the Constitution, do away with parental consent, and also it actually stated that just a health care provider could sign off on an abortion for someone. It could be a worker in an abortion clinic. It could be a pharmacist, a health care worker, anybody. You know, not even a doctor. Right. And so it was the effort to stop that was not as strong as I had hoped, even in churches. But people did try. And here's the thing. It didn't pass. It did not pass. And secondly, the marijuana amendment, they were going to the industry. These powers that be have millions and billions of dollars. Think about drugs at the border, how much money there is in this. And they were really, they had all these slick ads. They even had President Trump's support, which that's very upsetting to me because President Trump hates drugs. He doesn't want his kids don't take drugs. He doesn't drink. I think, did I say this maybe yesterday on the air, but I actually think that was a political consultant trying to advise him that was the best way to win Florida. And that was a lie.
And you know, on the marijuana initiative, they tried to coax. I remember when I lived in Illinois and I was a kid and they introduced the lottery. And it's always done in this pattern. They'll tell you, the money is going to go to good causes. Yeah. It was going to fund education.
Yeah.
And all they did was use the lottery money, quote unquote, to fund education. But the legislature took the money that was already there for education and reallocated it somewhere else. And it was the same thing in the way this proposition was written. It talked about the billions of dollars that this was going to provide to the state of Florida so that we could lower taxes and And you know what? That never works.
Let's just say, here's the thing, Bruce. You and I, we saw there was more pushback on the abortion amendment than on this one. It was just almost like crickets, silence on that issue. And we were very upset because we're just two people. How can we fight back on this? It seems so popular. Even seniors want to smoke their marijuana. And it was defeated. It was defeated. And I laid that at the feet of Ron DeSantis, who made a brilliant, clear case for why we don't want that in Florida. And so hats off to him, and God bless the people of Florida who are smarter than the powers that be that wanted to force that down to just persuade us and deceive us. So I want to mention one other thing, ranked choice voting, which is just a nightmare to a democracy. Uh-huh. To a republic, maybe I should say, since that's what we are. But ranked choice voting does away with party distinctions. And it's like the first two or three win. And then so you never know exactly who you're voting for. It's ruined voting in Alaska and other states. And it went down handily in every state it was presented. And then on a sad note for me, in North Carolina, who suffered so much, they've suffered so much. They came out in force to vote, but they did not elect Mark Robinson for their governor. They elected the Democrat, whose name escapes me in this moment. But I just think that's...
Josh Stein.
Well, North Carolina is now going to have a Democratic governor who is not conservative, because people thought that Mark Robinson, this story came out broken by CNN, that he had been, that he'd been involved with pornography and had a pornographic moniker several years ago. That was the issue. And I just can't believe that people are that short-sighted, but they were. And so now they have Josh Stein. And I think they're going to be sorry about that. I'm sad for Mark Robinson. I hope President Trump finds a place for him in his cabinet. All of that to say, we've had an incredible, this has been incredible. And our lives are going to change, but please, hear me. Those of you old enough to remember 9/11, Bruce and I, that's when we met right after 9/11 in Washington, D.C., will remember that the whole country, I'll speak for D.C., it was working with just alive like bees of patriots trying to protect our country from that attack, planning to respond. It was a surge of patriotism. People were filling the churches, and it lasted, was it 15 minutes? It lasted maybe two Sundays. I'm begging you, let the reality of what's just happened and God's miraculous intervention just go down deep. Go down deep and act accordingly to thank him on your knees, on my knees, thanking God for this undeserved favor for our country. And let's not squander it. Let's do the next thing that's right. Sort your own life out. Live a better life. Get to know God if you don't know him. Conform your mind to the mind of Christ, which is actually beautiful. And live your life well. And make a difference in your children and your neighbors. This is what God has called us to do. We are salt and light. So with that, I want us to end with what we played at the beginning, because I believe this is in Michigan. These are workers dressed in suits and dresses who have just poured their hearts and minds into saving their state. And just when they heard President Trump's speech, this was their response. I'm going to leave you with this today. You know, this is Sandy Rios 24/7. I do want to thank Timothy Plan, because they support us, and we could not do this without them. And they let you, they give you a way to put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. So President Trump in Michigan, the people standing there hear him speak, and then this is what happens. And with this, this is my gift to you as we say goodbye on Sandy Rios 24/7.